Good afternoon, everyone. Adequate notice of this meeting, which was August 13th, 2018.
No, it was noticed on August 11th.
Did you not collect this? Did you not buy this?
The meeting was advertised August 11th, but today's the 13th.
Okay. You want me to say all that? Okay. Adequate notice of this meeting, which was noticed on August 11th, 2018, and held now on August 13th, 2018 at 3 p.m., has been provided by a public notice which was posted on the bulletin board at the Roosevelt Post Office, on the bulletin board in the Roosevelt Post Office, and in the Borough Hall. The notice was mailed to the Times and the Asbury Park Press. Can you hear, Bob? Okay. Roll call.
Mr. Bowen?
Here.
Mr. Hamilton?
Here.
Mr. Parker?
He'll be a couple minutes late.
Okay. Ms. Parrott?
Here.
Ms. Sheehan?
Here.
Mr. Trammell?
Here.
Mayor Malkin?
Here. All right, we come to public public comment on the agenda items only. Would anyone like to make a public comment?
Can I just start off by saying that I'm the one that called this meeting?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay. I called this meeting just because I wanted to make sure that the information that we all had in town and on the council, that we all had the same information before any vote was taking place tonight, okay? And hopefully this will be a meeting where Carmela can explain what's going on with this letter, which would, in my opinion, have an influence on the vote tonight. Okay. One other thing, there was a letter in my mailbox from someone.
Could we, Joe, hold that till later,
okay.
Possibly?
I would just like to say that people that are naming people should put their names on the letters that are in the mailboxes.
Well, we can.
All right. So thank you very much, and hopefully we'll get information.
Okay, so actually what I'm going to do is go out of order, because I think it's probably better to let Carmela speak, and then after hearing everything she has to say, then it makes more sense for the public comment to follow that. So, Carmela, I
rise to a point of order, Madam Mayor. Only members of the governing body may speak. She's not a member, and the special agenda, a special meeting, has to stick to the agenda, and it is the letter. It is the letter. It is not. There's nothing on there that there is a speech.
She wrote.
So I'd like
the letter.
A ruling from the chair.
I was going
on Robert's rules.
I was going to ask her to discuss her letter.
I'd like a ruling. I rise to a point of order. I'd like a ruling under Robert's rules from the chair. The chair.
No idea what you're talking about.
I rise to a point of where the gentleman is out of order. He is not a member of this body. He's not an elected official. He's not the parliamentarian. I rise to a point of order under Robert's rules. If you'd like to adjourn and go read them.
What exactly is it that you're asking for?
Robert's rules clearly states that only members of a body are permitted to speak. Number two. The laws regarding borough provide that only the topic of a special meeting may be considered, and the topic is letter received.
So I'm confused.
Does not say
the letters from Carmela.
So you don't want the borough.
I advise to point out, gentleman's out of order. He's not a member.
I'm a member of the council, and I think that the person that wrote the letter should be able to discuss the letter.
The letter. And yeah. He is our
point
legal
of order,
representative.
Like a ruling under Robert's rules. The chair makes the ruling. Chair.
The chair is Peggy?
The chair makes the ruling. I've studied them all weekend long. I would like a ruling under Robert's rules. I'm going to continue rising every time there's an out of order.
Can Carmela speak as a member of the public?
She, at the time the public speaks.
I don't, I don't think she's a parliamentarian either. So we need the parliamentarian who would be the chair to make
a
ruling on this. And if there are other motions that are needed, but this...
I'm not making a motion.
This is on the table right now.
I'm not making a motion. I'm rising to a point of order.
Yeah, I understand. You stated it quite a few times.
I'll keep stating it until we have a ruling.
I rule that because the one item on the agenda is a letter written by our borough engineer, Carmela Roberts, that she be allowed to speak to the letter that she wrote.
And what section of Robert's Rules are you relying on?
She's the chair, and she's making
that
decision.
Yeah, we're going by the borough code. I understand that it says Robert's
Rules
are
applicable. The
gentleman's
out of order. He is not a member.
You're going to do this all night when I...
Yes.
Talk? Really?
Absolutely.
Is this about not...
I don't even know how to run a meeting like this.
Unless you cite... Well, obviously, you haven't read Robert's Rules.
I didn't study them all weekend. I'll tell you that.
Gentleman's out of order. He's not a member.
He is our legal representative.
I'll stay quiet if it helps the discussion.
He is not a member of the body. Right. He is not elected.
You stated that already.
Well, I think the issue is before the chair, and it's not for you to continue to speak either at this point.
Well, I wanted
to
know.
You have the issue
the
to
section,
the chair. It's the chair.
I wanted to know the section she's relying on.
I have not studied Robert Rules as you have, but as the chair, I am ruling that our borough engineer be permitted to speak to the letter that she wrote in case anyone in the public, and not just in case, I'm assuming that most of the members of the public have questions or different areas of the letter that they would like either discussed or their questions answered. That's why the meeting was called. That's why she's here, and I am ruling that she can speak about her letter and that people be permitted, when it's a public portion of the agenda, she can answer their questions.
Thank you. Thank you. So I prepared a letter for council.
Do you want a microphone, or you want to speak to the council? Your microphone?
I'm fine. I don't care where it is. Everybody will hear me, right? After the last meeting, there was question about lining the pipes or replacing the pipes. Mm-hmm. And at that meeting, I told you I'd get a letter to try to make it easier for you. If it made it worse, my apologies, but I do think it's all here in the letter. I actually reached out to the engineering community across the country. The American Society of Civil Engineers has a collaboration area online where I asked for what's going on in other towns with 80-year-old cast iron pipes and what are you doing. And I heard back from engineers in New York City, in Chicago, in Fort Worth, and somewhere around D.C. So a nice cross-section. Some locations have a policy where they just replace them. They get to be so old, that's it, they're done. But generally, the consensus of what happens around this country is that you take a look at where your pipes are and the conditions of your pipe, and you determine if they will be stable in the future. The item that continued repetitively from the engineers I spoke with was, what is the condition where your pipes are? Right? What's the soil in this area? And I sent to you a map. If you didn't get it in color, I'm sorry about that. Okay, good. So when you see it in color, you can see that this area, which has a lot of wetlands around, also has soils where most all of your water mains are located that are either moderately or severely corrosive. And every engineer I spoke with said, if you're in bad soils, you have a problem, and there's really no way to fix them, to fix that problem, right? You got the wrong pipe in the wrong location, but this was the pipe that we had 80 and more years ago. So the issue was, what's your history of breaks? What's the condition of your pipe location relative to corrosive soils? And what's the age of your water mains? You have all three things going against you here in the borough. They're cast iron, they're 80 years and more old, and you have breaks periodically in this system. And most recently, you had a break right across from Borough Hall where we found three holes just right in the pipe. And when you excavate the pipe around town, as we have done in certain areas, you can see a a piddling, a pitting, and like a modeling of the exterior of the pipe. It is no longer smooth. It is indented as the pipe is being corroded. Okay. So I also looked into your history of water main breaks. I got as much information as I could here directly at Borough Hall, and I do have to tell you that I am not always called in to help you with every water main break, so I don't know every water main break. I am brought in when it is very cold, very deep, very difficult, when you need a contractor to come in here, you need somebody fast to get your system back up and running. So I did help with the break across from Borough Hall. I helped with the one on Pine Drive in the winter. And prior to that, it was about 4 years ago, there was another break on Rochdale down near the Empty Box Brook. It was bitter, bitter cold in February, and the pipe was about 15 feet deep. So we called in a specialist and took care of that. As far as my research goes, you have not had a water break on Rochdale at that location in 4 years now. And I know there's talk about Tamara. I don't know when the last break was on Tamara. I know there have been. But most recently, a break on Pine and a break out here. Okay. And so, going through all of that research, it wasn't really, I reached out. Getting that information for you. But then I looked to, what are you going to do about your water mains? Because there are only so many solutions here. There are options, but not all of them are legitimate options, right? So you can clean your cast iron pipes. You pig out this iron that has solidified inside the pipes, and then you actually, you televise inside them, you make sure they're all clean, and then you spray coat them with a little bit of cement lining, which prevents the interior of the pipe from rusting, right? All that does is clean out your corroded pipes. Does nothing to change the location of your pipes or the corrosion and deterioration that you have from the outside coming in, right? The cost of that is about $4 million.
Carmel, can I just interrupt you for a second? I just want the record to reflect that Councilman Parker arrived at 3:14. I'm sorry.
Okay. In the meantime, I have had people ask me about other ways to repair pipe system, and there's this process called cured in place a pipe, which actually means you insert a pipe, and with heat, it connects itself to the inside of the existing pipe. And in certain cases, that is a legitimate repair. In your case, in order to do that, you first have to clean your pipes out. One does not take the place of the other. So if you want to line your pipes so that if there was corrosion from the outside, the pipes wouldn't fail, you will still have to clean them at a cost of $4 million, and then the cost to line them is about another $4 million. Right? So in your case, the solution is replace your pipes. They're beyond their life. They're breaking periodically, and we know they are deteriorating because we see it. Right? Your answer here is to replace the pipes. I think your only question is when and how to do that. If you want to replace all your pipes in one fell swoop, that is $8 to $10 million. Right? What I suggested in my letter and what we were discussing last time is to create a program of replacing your pipes. And that program, at this point, is beginning with the pipes or the road, the pipes under the roads where you have grants. Now, if you don't mind, I'd like to hand out a paper to council showing you how things have progressed over the years with the DOT and...
I object.
The grants.
Not on the agenda. Point of order. Not on the agenda.
Objection noted.
Well, I think there's a connection here because it's about why Homestead, Maple, and, or Cedar, and Elm. So, there we go. So it's all about my letter, and it gives you some of the background information to how I prepared the letter.
Thank you.
This is a summary, something that we put together, started a few years ago. And the gist of it is how we've applied for grants to the DOT, and when we receive them, when you get notice, how all of that happens. Okay, so what you want to focus on here is let's go to 2012, right? So in 2010, the borough made application to the DOT to rebuild Homestead Lane Phase 1, right? At the time, there were hydrants replaced on that road. The borough then got money for Oscar Drive, where there is no water or sewer. Then got money for Nurco Road, the first part of it. There's no water and sewer. Then got money for South Valley Road, where we replaced hydrants and valves, and that was just at the intersection of Valley and Lake. And then the next grant you get is Homestead Lane. Homestead, the application was submitted to the DOT in January of 2017, which means we prepared it under the 2016 council. We submit it in January of 17, and you get notice last August 31st, 2017, that you got awarded the grant for Homestead and Cedar. And then just as time goes along, there's another DOT application, and in September of last year, we made application for Nurco and Elm Court and found out in February that you were funded for that. So here we are from August to February, right? Now you've got money from DOT for four roads, and three of them have water lines on them. Two of them have inch and a half pipes, right? And one of them is Homestead, right? So, you know, how do we get to Homestead, Elm, and Cedar? We get there through this process. We go to the DOT. We take a look at the utilities that are underground in this area, and we determine what should be done before we do a final pave and replace curbs and fix sidewalks and all the other things that go on. Right. So here we are, and let me take us all a stroll back in time here down memory lane. I think on August 31st, 2017, you had no council. I think about half of your council had up and walked away. Is that right?
Yes.
And you really didn't have a council until you had the election, which was November.
Yep.
Is that so also? Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, we had on September 25th, we had an interim council in place. Mm-hmm. And then...
Mm-hmm. January.
Okay. Yeah. And then you have your election, and things are moving, mm-hmm. but it was a time of chaos in the borough. Mm-hmm. And in addition, it was a time of crisis with your water and your sewer systems and treatment plants, right? So I know, because I was working with council members then, that there was a lot of time spent on the water and sewer plants, the DEP notices of violation, the threatened penalties, right? All that went on for quite some time. But early this year, so we find out February 21st, you've got the second grant from the DOT, and my first letter goes out to council in April of this year, and it went out because I was working with various council members on what should we be doing and what should we be looking at, right? At that time, I told you that I also thought, in addition to the DOT grant, and the fact that we've got these bad pipes, that you are in a perfect position to go to the trust to get funding for your water system. Because under the NANO program that we spoke about, you can get up to 50% loan forgiveness. And at the last meeting, I pointed out that you got 40% forgiveness when you upgraded your treatment plant, right? So that is the beginning of how we got to where we are. My letters came out in April. Something was happening here in council. I sent another letter in June discussing more and giving you more detail about pricing. And my last letter came out August 3rd. Oh, that's the one we're talking about here.
Excuse me.
Okay, so why do it this way? Well, you know, it's $8 to $10 million to do it all at once, and I am certain you don't have that kind of money, and nobody wants that kind of rate increase, right? And why do it with these roads? Because you got the grants, and it's going to save you money in the end, right? Why are we not going onto Rochdale and Tamara? And I know they're trouble spots, but those breaks are happening, what, every 4 years, 5 years, 10 years? And Rochdale's a county road, which was just paved. Mm-hmm. And trust me, Monmouth County will have you repaving their entire road. So not only is it expensive to do the pipe replacement, you're going to have a big road project to do in addition, because there's a 5-year moratorium on making any cuts in that roadway. So, So part of what I do for you is determining the best way to spend your money, and the best way not to waste your money. In my opinion, you need to take advantage of the money that comes through the DOT, and you've got these two grants right now. And in my recommendation, because you have these two grants and these roads, go to the trust and get 50% off this cost of what you need to do anyway. Right. So I think this brings us to where we are. Now, the rest of my letter said, if you even thought about cleaning and lining your pipes and spending that $4 million because you want perfect water quality all at once, even though it's very expensive, you will eventually replace all your pipes anyway because they are all failing. They will start to eat your money as they break year after year after year, and as time goes on, they're just going to deteriorate further. That's why you don't want to do that. Right? The other side is, well, where do we start? You know, you start where the money is. And what I pointed out to you also is it's going to be much better on Cedar. It's going to be much better on Elm. You'll start the process on Homestead, but as the years go on, you're going to be doing a leapfrog sort of thing unless you decide to replace a bunch of pipes. And during the time that we are trying to replace your system 10% at a time every 3 or 4 or 5 years, during that time, you still will, you can look forward to breaks because that's just the situation you are in. And the situation is because your pipes are 80 years old. There's been barely the thought of maintenance on them. They are tuberculated because there has been no maintenance. And maintenance on a water system is as simple as opening the hydrants and letting them run. And that should be every 2 years. That's as easy as it is. And somehow or other, nobody got around to doing that. And as these pipes have tuberculated, it's like iron inside your pipe. So there's no way you can fix it at this point. All you can do is stop it where it is. Right? I saw the pipe on Pine Drive when we did Maple also, and that pipe was about that much of a veil of opening, thank you very much, of where the water could come through. Right? There you have my letter. My recommendation. And I am doing engineering for 36 years now, everyone. This is my specialty. This is what I'm expert at. I estimate costs before project begins, and 98% of the time, my numbers are good. There are very few clients around who I am saying it costs a million and it's coming in at a million and a half or two or five or whatever, right? This is what I do. What I'm telling you is you need to replace your pipes.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
It seems like, you know, there are two options you presented, right? Trenches, pulling up the pipes, and relining. And you have a good argument for or against relining because it's not really adding any structural integrity to the type to the pipes that are corroding from the outside. Now, in my very limited research, you know, you look up, you know, what options are there, and I was curious as to why this one option, pipe bursting, was not mentioned as a viable option. And for people who don't know what pipe bursting is, it's basically it's like a horizontal pile driver,
right?
And they come in through one section of the pipe,
right,
at a shutoff valve, I guess, and they go 500 feet to another shutoff valve, and then they ram this thing that looks like a torpedo through the existing pipe,
right,
fracturing it as it goes through and pulls a brand new pipe behind it.
HDPE.
Right.
Yep.
So I guess my question is, why is that not an alternative?
I didn't put it in my letter. I didn't talk about it. But I researched the price of what to expect on this. It is an option, but I don't think it's a good option for you because of the cost, right? Because at a minimum, just to do the pipes, we're at $4 million. And then there's the cost of your services and the cost of your hydrants. That is a $5 million project, if you did it all at once. And I have not been able to get a definitive answer on is my number of $4 million the right price? Because we're pulling this thing through tuberculated pipe. Oftentimes, pipe bursting is done in sanitary pipe or clay pipe, and it can be done in iron, but it's a clean pipe you're taking it through. And what I have not been able to confirm yet is whether in this system we start by pulling a small piece through and clean it out, or a larger through and just ream it out, essentially cleaning it and then bursting it. So all I can tell you right now is at a minimum, the cost to do this is $5
million. $5 million to pipe burst the whole town.
Right. At a minimum, it may be higher.
On a pipe bursting, I did a little research on that. To get to the laterals, the services coming out of the pipe, that the new pipe, every house would have to be dug out,
right,
by their valve and attached to the new pipe.
Well, the way I understand,
right,
it, they have two crews. They have one crew feeding the pipe, you know, and coming out the other side, and the other crew is digging these.
Right.
And, you know, and they could. Seems to go very rapidly, like 500 feet a day kind of thing.
Well, and that all depends on the pipe that you're in. You know, if we had a 12-inch sewer pipe and you got this big town and you want to put in a 15 and the pipe's put in 1940 and it's clay with 3-foot joints, you could, you know, run 30 miles an hour down the road to replace, to pipe burst something that fragile, right? Clay's just going to disintegrate. It's not the same with an iron pipe. I don't have the full answer for you.
Well, because
and
that's
the
not
same,
consistent with what,
right,
I read.
And
that iron is very standard for pipe bursting. Mm-hmm. Cast iron is it's not a problem. Yeah.
How many pipe bursting projects have you been the engineer for?
I have not done a pipe bursting project. Right? But
do you believe it's unreasonable for this council to give further consideration to the question of what action, if any, to take regarding the pipes? Do you believe that would be unreasonable?
What would be unreasonable?
For this council to take further consideration other than this meeting right now, to take additional consideration and thought? Do you think it was would it be unreasonable for us to do additional consideration?
That's not my question. That's for counsel.
No, as an engineer.
I gave you all the information.
As an engineer, do you think it would be unreasonable for us to consider this matter more than
even more
tonight? Yes.
I think it would be. I've stood here and told you this is exactly what you need to do. Sometimes things aren't so black and white. Oftentimes I say to councils, you can do A, B, C, X, Y, Z. I don't care. You just can't do F, right? And oftentimes that's how it is. There are many ways to solve problems, and you can choose how you want to do it. There are only so many answers here, and there are few times when I stand up and tell a council, here's what you got to do. There's no better choice.
But $5 million seems a lot less than the $10 million that we're talking about. And I'm just wondering, can we, you know, I would like to see, you know, us take the time to explore more of these options. I mean, I realize that, you know, these loans programs, you know, could disappear. We need to take advantage of those. We need to act quickly on this. But it just seems that, for me personally, I'd like a little bit more time to kind of look more closely into, especially this pipe bursting idea. So,
I'd like a second opinion from an expert on trenchless, particular pipe bursting. I think it would be unreasonable for us not to get that.
Well, I'm an expert, and I can get that information from you.
How much money would you make if we did this $10 million project, if you were the engineer?
I don't know.
You would have no idea?
There's usually a percentage.
What's the percentage?
It depends.
You said you're an expert. You don't know?
Maureen?
Well, I'm
asking.
Stop being rude to me.
Well, I'm asking financial questions.
And I will give you an answer, but you don't need to badger me over this.
Well, to me it goes to bias.
Maureen,
so I would like an answer.
I would like you to show some respect to the engineer.
All right.
If you have a question, just ask the question.
The higher the construction value gets, the lower the engineering percentage. It could be 2%, 3%, 4% in something as big as $10 million. But let me assure you, that's a lot of work, replacing an entire town's water system. And let me assure you, you're all going to be receiving your water from a temporary piping system while this goes on. Right. So it's not just expensive and it's no big deal. There is always a degree of complexity the more expensive the projects get.
Thank you.
Right. Now, I was out of the area last week. I asked my office to look into pipe bursting. I got some information this morning. I'd be happy to give a call and find out if they were able to get some additional information. But pipe bursting or not, you have those two courts, and there's no bursting to be done over there. Those pipes need to be ripped out, and 6-inch water mains need to be installed. So if your question is simply about what should we do on Homestead, is it bursting or is it replacement? I can let you know shortly. But I think the other question of do we move forward with water main replacements, yes, you do.
My other question, what strikes me is, it just, and I think I've mentioned this before, it seems like we're having these grants to repave dictate where we fix the pipes, you know, you mentioned all these breaks that keep occurring. They're not on Homestead.
No, but actually, you had a break on Rochdale 4 years ago. Prior to that, I don't know when the one before that was. And I don't know when your last break on Tamara was.
Last winter.
Was that down by the empty box?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was by the triangle.
It was by the triangle.
By the triangle, not by.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, yeah.
So, you know, over there is a whole lot different than long way from the empty box, right, where that crossing is. So your pipes are just failing. There's a proof, right, in what we're hearing here. We just have a break out of the blue down by the triangle on Tamara. And then we have a break out of the blue on Pine a little further down the road.
Yeah, I don't know about the second break on Pine. I know we had Rochdale and we had the triangle, Pine and Tamara. Yeah. So.
Molly, do you know, in general, is it cheaper to trench or to pipe burst? Or is that something you could find out for us? What's the less expensive
to excavate?
Option?
By the linear foot price, it's less expensive to excavate, for sure.
Less expensive than pipe burst?
Well, right. And here's what we have right now. Cleaning and lining is $90 to $100 a linear foot. The cured in place pipe, it's more like $120 a foot. And what we have so far on pipe bursting is about $150 a foot. And your basic old replace a water pipe is in the range of $80 to $100.
And all the reading that I read about pipe bursting, it was always comes in less than trench digging replacement. You know, up to like 40% less. That's what I had read. You know, you have better resources than
right.
I do.
Right. And as I said, I have to finalize these numbers for you. My question to all of you, though, is let's say pipe bursting is a $5 million project. Are you moving forward with a $5 million project?
We didn't even know about it until last week.
Well, yeah, and well, so, I mean, and so, if you aren't, what typically happens in municipalities is a plan, a program. And very often, most of the time, it is tied to the other grants that they get, unless they might be a bigger town that's got a lot of money, right? Mm-hmm. And it's a different world from the big townships, right? To the little boroughs. They've got more money, and I've seen big towns waste more money than you have in a year, right? So this is about using your money in the best way.
So the grant money for water main replacement, that applies to whatever method we use, is that right?
Yes.
So, I mean, we wouldn't lose any money if we switched to pipe bursting. We would still get a 50%
That's right.
grant.
That's right.
Towards that.
That's right. Right. So I think you're asking me to finalize that pipe bursting number and to find out for you just what it takes to burst your pipes.
Well, and then my other question is, first I thought the pipes were breaking willy-nilly all throughout town. Then I think it was Jeff Ellentuck mentioned that there's a pattern to these breakages. They're occurring in a few places over and over. And then in your letter, it looked like that there was a pattern that you mentioned. Is there a pattern or isn't there a pattern?
They're beginning to move throughout the town. They originated on Rochdale and Tamara, right? At those locations where, in addition to your corrosive soils, those pipes go under the stream. So now you also have water rising and falling during different seasons, right? And they're right near the wetlands, and so you also get movement, very fine movement of soils in those areas. Then your pipes want to break for a couple of reasons in those locations. It's the corrosive soil, and it's the water fluctuations, and it's the movement of soils, right? So those are bad spots, for sure. Those are bad spots in your town.
And this isn't touching those bad spots,
this
project.
Well, no, not Homestead or...
Right. So we have water problems with repeated breakages in certain areas. Apparently there's also sewer problems with roots and pipes breaking. And it seems like we have some sort of emergency situations with water and sewer that this isn't even looking at. It's going off on another direction for now.
Oh, I disagree with that. I mean, we're looking at your water system. And the look I've given you is can do it all at once, or you can do it in a program. I mean, part of engineering is economics, too, right? And I'm sure it is for your town. So you could do more than just the two courts and Homestead. You could apply to the trust to do more water mains if you're particularly concerned about Rochdale and Tamara, and add them in at this point. So you've addressed your worst water locations, and you've taken advantage of your grants. You could, right? And if you chose, I wouldn't open excavate. I'd look into perhaps directional drilling on Rochdale to go under the stream.
Is it your
opinion? That's unique.
There are no problems with the sewage pipes in Roosevelt?
I never said such a thing, and that's not on the agenda.
Well, thank you for explaining that we should keep to
Maureen,
the agenda.
Maureen, please.
I just want to know, what do we all want to discuss today? I'm happy to talk about the sewers, too.
I think we all want to discuss what's in the information that was promulgated on the Golden Board.
Mayor, should we talk about the sewers also?
It's not stipulated in the agenda. It's
okay.
Only your letter, which does not address the sewer. So
okay.
If someone wants to bring it up at the 7 o'clock meeting, which, although you won't be here,
can't make that.
But for now, I don't think that...
Yeah, I agree. I think we should stick with water main and not open it up to
water
too many
main
topics.
Water main is enough of an issue here without complicating it at this point with the sewer.
Mm-hmm.
So. Is there anyone else at the table that has...
For directional drilling, pipe bursting, if we were to pipe burst just a section underneath Rochdale, would that be able to fit into the existing water main, or would you have to pipe burst the entire stretch? As opposed to directional drilling,
we would just go wherever we want the limit to be. Just open up the road and break into the pipe and start there.
Okay, it seems like there's...
And it would be the same,
options.
Whether it's bursting or excavation or directional drilling. Anyway, that's how we would do it. Okay. We don't have to go back to an intersection with any of these options. You'll have holes scattered throughout the borough where we enter and exit.
Do you want to sum up, a quick summary of your... recommendation or your belief?
My recommendation.
I object. The letter didn't contain a recommendation. And you...
I believe that it did.
Well, I'll read it then. It speaks for itself.
I say I recommend the water mains be replaced with a high density polyethylene pipe to prevent breaks.
That's the line I was referring to.
And then I summarized, You can do all that. You can do your cleaning and lining. It'll cost you $4 million and expect you're going to have breaks continuing because you still have the same pipe. Or you can replace in a program over probably 30 years. And during that 30 years, you'll still have repairs to be made, breaks to deal with as you work your way around the borough trying to get all your pipes into good condition.
But you should have some fewer breaks because you're replacing sections, so they're not likely to break.
Yeah, right. As time goes on, your breaks should be fewer
because
you got more good pipe in the ground.
And breaks cost about three times
that
per linear foot than...
That was my next question.
Right?
Well,
suppose we choose to not do any pipe replacement now. We just pave the three roads, and at this point, we choose to do nothing. Can you give us some kind of scenario?
Why don't you just continue on with exactly the way things are?
Emergency breaks.
Right. I would tell you, at a minimum, put real live water mains on Elm and Cedar Court. I really don't know how those people are living.
They complain a lot.
At a bare minimum, address the courts. And if you're only going to do the courts, then think about doing School Lane while you're at it, because that also has an inch and a half pipe.
So how modifiable are these bonds? I mean, can we change the move to a different road? Yeah, I mean.
Well, you've made no application yet for the water pipes. So create whatever you want, right? Start wherever you want. And it's a revolving loan program, which is rather flexible. So if you did say down the line, we also want to add in another road, they'll say, okay, and just tell us, are there any environmental concerns in that area? They're going to double check on cultural resources. We'll probably have to go to Historic Preservation Office because your whole borough is a registered location. There are a couple of pieces to be done, but they're generally very understanding and very forgiving to towns like yours.
So the reason that pipe bursting was not part of the original presentation, only because when I read about pipe bursting, I thought that that was a beautiful solution. So I'm curious why it was never presented. Either, I guess you thought that it was cost prohibitive.
Right.
But that's not what I read.
Right. Well, and the thing about pipe bursting or cleaning and lining or the cured in place is you do a big project or just don't do it because the cost will skyrocket, right, per cost per foot. If you do 100 feet of pipe bursting versus you do 10,000 feet. And it's the same way for cleaning and lining or the cured in place, right? So I didn't go to pipe bursting because I know it's more expensive than the others, and I don't see you replacing the entire water system at once. And that could be, you know, that I just thought too much for you, but that was my assumption.
No, I believe that we would not be able
to do the whole system at once.
Yeah, we wouldn't even be able to bond it for that much money. Any other questions from the table? Right, so, thank you, Carmella. All right, so now we will go to the public comment. Agenda items only. Oh, I'm sorry, at 3:48? I thought you said 8:48.
Bert, I want to talk to 22 Homestead Lane. I'd like to start off.
Wait, Bert, excuse me for a second.
It has to be general open comment.
Okay.
It can't be an item because it has to be the section reserved for the meeting.
Okay. So I'm sorry. You're not limited to agenda items only.
I'll do my best.
Public comment. Period.
Two things. First, one. I have to say that I object to having this meeting. I object to having this meeting because it was called for 3:00 on a Monday afternoon, and people work. And people work, and they can't afford to come to meetings at 3:00 in the afternoon on a work day. You know, if I were of a suspicious mind, I would think it was done on purpose.
Bert, there is another meeting at 7:00.
I understand that, but this is this is a very important meeting. You're going to spend a lot more time here today at this meeting than probably you're going to be able to do tonight, or we're going to run till 1:00 in the morning tonight.
May I?
Second thing.
Carmella was available.
The second thing I have.
But you could say.
Excuse me, I'm speaking.
I'm sorry, Bert.
The second thing. Oh yes, the second thing had to do with having documents available in the borough hall for examination. They're still not there. There's nothing there. I have called the Division of Local Government to ask them for an opinion as to what impact this may have on the votes on the bond issue. Moving right along, I had a lot of stuff to talk about, but listening to Carmella sort of changed part of my sequence. I'd like to talk about money. When the first report came out from Carmella, we were going to do 500 lineal feet of pipe for $25,000. we were going to do 2,500 square feet lineal feet of pipe for about $500 a lineal foot. That included the pipe, that included the excavation, because you got to pay for the excavation someplace, and it didn't pay, that didn't cost pay for the for the paving, because paving comes extra. We get paid for that. If you broke that down, that comes to $500 a lineal foot. If you break that down for the whole, I'm sorry, Joe, I'm speaking.
Talking to myself, sorry.
If you break that down to the total project at that time, multiplying it by 25,600 lineal feet of pipe, which we have in town, that comes up to something like $12 million. Now, as this project progressed, on the engineer's estimate of July 23rd, she said, well, probably $15 million. On August 3rd,
Sorry.
On August 3rd, she said $10 million. So there's a question of how much is it going to cost if we do the whole town? But the obvious answer is, whether it's $12 million, $15 million, $10 million, if you're going to do it, you're not going to do it in 1 year. You're not going to do it in 2 years. You're not going to do it in 5 years. You may not even be able to do it in 10 years, because you're going to do it in pieces. You have to have a bond for every piece. How are you going to do that? I mean, I don't see the way. I don't see the way that you can do it. I mean, I have an awful lot of things to talk about when it comes to putting in the pipe, replacing the pipe, doing different pipe. But the fact of the matter is, we aren't looking realistically about how the hell we're going to pay for it. And we ought to have some realistic idea. Now, in the documents that were provided, there is this map. This map, lovely map, of the type of soil in town. Or is it somewhere? And here it is. As you can see, it identifies three different kinds of soil. Right? Very corrosive, not as corrosive as that. God knows what that means. And then there's an area that's not corrosive at all. And the most interesting thing about the part that's not corrosive at all is it runs through Empty Box Creek. So I guess the soil there is pretty good, or the water is pretty good as it runs over the pipes. A lot of the piping is in areas that don't really serve much in the way of town. There are no houses up a Rochdale Road. There are very few houses in other areas. So if we want to do something, maybe we want to look at doing things where there are, where we have lots of connections, and forget about doing things where we don't have many connections. Another thing about this map, any other map, and any other document that we've had, they don't show the location of the breaks. So everybody says, we had a couple here, we had a couple there, we had a couple someplace else, but there's no map that tells you where. We should have that. Somebody should make that. I don't know who. Somebody's on the council who's in charge of public works might ought to be able to see if we can find that. So at least we can say, oh, well, we have to address that. What has caused that problem? Does it occur over and over again? What does it take to fix it? And then we have an idea, surprise, we have an idea of what it takes to fix a pipe. Now, maybe instead of thinking of spending $1.2 million in 1 year, 5 years to fix 2,500 feet of pipe, or 3,000 feet of pipe, we should think about repairing breaks as they occur. How much have we paid to fix those breaks over the years? Well, according to what I hear, we have two or three breaks every two or three years. Well, I'll take a non-mathematician's guess at this and say, average out to 1 year. This is wrong. Maybe it averages out to 2 a year. What are we paying? We're probably paying a lot less than repairing and replacing the whole water system. Why don't we just let things go as they are? Put money in the capital budget plan, which we're supposed to do anyway. That'll cover three or four breaks a year. That much makes a lot more sense to me than floating a bond for $1 million, $2 million, $1.5 million, and then coming down three years down the pike, 5 years down the pike, we need another bond for $1.5 million. I know I'll be dead by then, but still, other people won't. And I think we ought to look at that. Minor point. We're going to replace Cedar and Elm with a 6-inch pipe. We're going from 1.5 to 6. There are only 6 houses in each of those courts. What are we getting a 6-inch pipe for? I mean, all we're going to have is a backwater. I know the price of the pipe isn't much. This is what I'm just saying. It doesn't make any sense to me. Anyway, I think that's enough.
Thank you.
Can I ask a question of the chair?
Sure.
When comments are made and they bring up issues, and Bert's bringing up a lot of issues that I think...
Mike, can you talk?
Bert's bringing up a lot of issues that that I'd like to hear input on from people. Can we have a professional answer during the public portion? Because I think it would make for a better dialogue. If somebody asks questions, has concerns, you have a little discussion about it, and then you move on to the next speaker, rather than just go one speaker after another, giving long lists of things that we may or may not be able to address.
No, I agree, and I don't know, because it's a special meeting, can we allow that?
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay, I agree. I was thinking. So
I'd like to ask that.
Carmella, would you be okay with answering some of Bert's concerns?
Okay. Sure. So the first one that I recall is my estimates have changed. And they have. So this started out with, you know, tell us how much it's going to cost to do 3 roads. And then it was, how much is it to do the whole borough? So, you know, quick and dirty, $15 million. Right? As time went on, and this got to be more and more important, right, and there was a focus on this, I made these estimates more specific. And with that, I gave you the price of the replacement of water mains with a trench repair. So $8 to $10 million to replace everything in the borough, new water, trenches. So no paving to it. That will add to it, but I didn't include it. That's how we got to those numbers.
No. If I may, Capel, I'm not faulting you for reducing the number. I'm just saying that the number has changed and nobody has been aware. Really, the community has not been aware of that. But the fact of the matter remains that it's still a very large number.
Absolutely. Right. All right. What were the other questions? Bert?
6-inch mains.
Oh,
the
mains.
Courts.
Yeah, those.
Well, right.
For very little load.
These days, when a brand new water main is installed in a brand new development, the minimum size is 8-inch diameter, right? But you're not a brand new development. You're here, and it's my opinion that 6-inch is better for 8 homeowners than putting in a 4. And God forbid you don't maintain your pipes in the future the way they are now, a 4-inch main is going to get very small very fast, especially with them just being on these short lanes. So my judgment is that 6 is better pipe size.
I'm concerned that it's dead-ended, and it's likely to have water just lying there. And if we're going to put in that small lane line, I would think we would have a loop of some kind, just like we do in dialysis centers.
Well, exactly. There would be a loop. We did that on Maple Court.
Okay.
I looped that pipe back onto itself. I haven't heard any complaints about what's going on down there, and absolutely, you're right. It needs to be looped, and that's included in the cost.
Actually, the Maple residents are quite happy.
Happy. Well, good.
So are the Cedar Court residents. We received emails, and I spoke with a third.
Jed.
Jeb Sean, 18 tomorrow. Just a quick comment about the maintenance. I do recall, I've been here 38 years, I guess. Anyway, flushing has taken place a number of times, I remember it. So it isn't as though it's never done, but it is done sometimes. And secondly, while I'm looking at you, I want to thank you for everything you're doing. I really appreciate it. And I think your explanations are very clear. I did want to understand, though, when repairs are done, I guess I'm asking you, when repairs are done, is that an opportunity to put new pipe in those places? So as these breaks would occur, can something more lasting be done in those areas?
Well, yes, but I wouldn't recommend it. I mean, certainly you can. But what normally is happening is it's a crisis, mm-hmm. right? The water system has to be shut down. Your valves are old and unreliable. So sometimes we have to shut down a lot of people just to get control mm-hmm. of the leak.
Mm-hmm.
And if we then move to do a big repair, that's going to take days or weeks. And oftentimes the repairs are in the cold weather. It's that freeze thaw is.
So what is a repair? I mean, what physically what happens?
Sometimes repairs are done by putting a clamp around the pipe, like just on a small piece of plumbing mm-hmm. in your house. You do the same thing to large water mains. You mm-hmm. clamp them. Other times, if it's a crack that's running diagonally, you need to cut out a section of pipe.
Well, that's when I
and you are clamping nice those again.
Seems like it would be nice then to put whatever yeah. that was.
And I think I also think there are a few other reasons that you wouldn't want to. So it's an emergency at that point,
yeah.
which means you're paying the highest amount to call out a contractor under emergency and be here fast. So it's very expensive relative to if you had a plan.
Mm-hmm.
And then the borough is limited by the local public contract law and a limit for when you do not have to publicly advertise.
Mm-hmm.
You do not have a QPA? No. So the borough's limited outside of an emergency to $17,500 for a contract, which is
okay.
not much money at all.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Now, the other thing, since we're not limited, is my understanding is that the sewer pipes as well are certainly a concern, and where the repaving takes place, I'm certainly in favor of taking care of both types of pipes, whatever we do. And as for the idea of just repairing water mains as they break, I think that bypasses problems with the nature of the water. The water at my house is not good.
That's for tonight's issue.
Well, anyway, the point is that No, we're allowed to talk about anything right now. No, so I would like a incremental long-term program to replace the water mains, because even if I don't live to see it, I would like eventually everybody in the town to have clean water and not have their clothing and laundry rusting. And the other thing is, it seems to me that since programs and grants and opportunities change as time goes by, it's very hard to have a really detailed long-range program, because you want to be able to be flexible enough to respond to whatever changes occur and jump on whatever opportunities might pop up in the future. So the general idea of getting started on actual work that involves both the water and the sewer, and I remember at another meeting you said you would think about what to do with the sewer in the areas where the work, where it was determined that the work would actually take place. And also, we can't put permanent new pipes in the two problem, well, at least in the Rochdale problem area, because of the paving moratorium, right? But we could consider that for the Tamara Drive part. And the other thing about the soil quality and wetlands and all that is that years ago, when there was some repair done that I didn't pay a lot of attention to, so I don't know which pipes they were, but I live right next to the swamp at Tamara Drive. And when we moved here, and in the 80s, I walked my dog through the woods next to my house along Empty Box Creek. Then that became a swamp after this repair was done, because a berm was created that blocked the drainage of that area. And subsequently, trees are dying. I mean, it's a true wetlands. So years ago at a council meeting, I asked if we couldn't restore the drainage from that area that had been blocked by us. I mean, it's not a natural wetlands. We created it. But I was told that it was a wetlands and we couldn't drain it. And that could make that area more stable if something like that could eventually. So I wanted to point that out to the council.
Thank you, Jed.
Can I respond?
Sure.
A couple things. Of course. So I do know that your pipes are flushed now. And I know that as long as Toby Moore was here, he would flush once or twice a year. What that does is stabilize the pipe as they are. So if they've been flushed for 30 years, it could be the 50 prior they weren't. And whatever built up to that point, it won't go away. Regarding the sewer pipes that you asked about, I've requested from three sewer cleaning and televising company to provide quotes to the borough. And I can should have them all this week, and I will let you know what it will cost to actually look inside the pipes and determine if any repairs, well, just look inside. And then after we see them, determine if there are repairs and what that cost might be.
Within the areas that you're
paving. Right, yeah. Right. Homestead, Cedar, and Elm. And then the wetland that you commented on, the DEP is very restrictive. And if there's been a wetland area created for 30 years now, you'd have to go through the process of trying to get the DEP to allow you to remove that wetland if they would.
10 years.
Yeah. 10 years? But it's there, yeah. I mean, it could be a very hard thing to do, and you would have to get a permit to remove the berm at this point.
Can I throw a little information on that? It's my understanding that in the early 90s that they replace the sewer pipe with plastic between Rochdale, across Tamara, and all the way down to the sewer plant. And in doing so, they had to bring equipment into that area, and when they did that, they created like a fire road almost to lay the pipe. And there are a lot of problems due to that, including extra creeks that happen and creeks that are blocked now. As a matter of fact, over on Assumpink are emptied in back of Dave's house over there. It's becoming a lake, not just a wetlands. So, and that becomes the Assumpink area that is their property. So how do we deal with that and our capacity as a town where our water is getting backed up through the creeks because it's on somebody else's property? You know, so they worked that out to make the new pipe go in there, but they did not work it out so that we would have clear area to walk through anymore. It has become a wetland. So. Destabilizing the pipe, so one problem leads to another, yeah.
Okay, let's move on, because we really can't stay here too long. Anyone else like to speak? Mary?
Mary Tullis, 21 Lake Drive. Also, I think, Carmela, you have done an amazing, thorough research job checking with civil engineers around the country, I think. And investigating the soil types and all kinds of things like that.
Sorry.
I guess I have one question, and it sounds like people on the council themselves are undertaking some investigation as well. Several times I brought up at council meetings this organization called Association of Environment. Association of Environmental Authorities. Now, they came out, I was looking through my old emails today and printing some of those out. They came out 3 years ago, and the executive director, Peggy Gallos, she still seems to be executive director there, she came as well as people from surrounding towns and across the state. This organization consists of the municipal water and sewer authorities in many communities in New Jersey. So they share information. If they're purchasing something, they had a plan where, you know, maybe you could get a cheaper rate because there's a buying group and that kind of thing. Even the day that they came, Toby took us on a tour of water and sewer plant. Even on a walkthrough, they were making suggestions of things to be done. And I'm not sure how many of those things were done. I know those problems. We have another solution now with independent companies running water and sewer. But what I'm thinking is, if you are still, you know, investigating things or still in that stage, this is the business of these people. They are probably doing the same kind of things that we're talking about doing here. We could find out what they have done. Some of them are small communities, some are very large. We wouldn't have the money to do the kinds of things that they do. But they have already engineering expertise, practical experience, vendors, and things like that. Maybe somebody's putting in some PVC pipe in their town, so maybe we could join in with them and, you know, get a reduced rate or something like that. So anyway, I just would suggest that we, if you have time, I know time is of the essence. We don't want to lose out on the DOT grants. We want to get our application for that will allow us to have half of our loan forgiven and low interest rate. But if you can spare some time, I sent emails to a couple people today. I sent an email to Peggy, and I tried to reach also the person in East Windsor, Municipal Utility Authority. I haven't heard back from anybody, but I would recommend just a short little attempt to gather some more information.
What is the name again?
It is called the Association of Environmental Authorities. And the executive director, Peggy Gallos, G-A-L-L-O-S. I could just quickly give you her phone number if you want. 609-584-1877. You have to pay to join this organization, just like, you know, school board association or any kind of professional association you're in. But then you get benefits of, you know, sharing, buying a cooperative and sharing knowledge and those kinds of things. And then just the idea also of should we just repair things as we go? I feel like we're in this predicament now because that's kind of, I guess, how we've been doing things, and I think it would be better to have a plan to fix things. Sounds like relining them is not the way to go, but a plan to fix things in an orderly process. And just one last thing. I thought the area that Jeb is mentioning, there was a complication with beavers building dams downstream, which also made that area flooded.
That was
right.
much further downstream.
That was further down?
A mile and a half away.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. Okay, that's all. Thank you.
Thank you, Mary.
Thanks.
Bob?
Bob Cragen, 7th School Lane. I'd like to open by thanking each of you for your volunteer service for the town. None of you are getting paid. You're all working as council members out of the goodness of your hearts, the good of the town. And as a town's person, I thank you for that. Okay. To keep things short, I'll do my best. Please, Peggy, help me, Peggy, if I run on, okay?
Sure.
There's a bunch of things to talk about here, and so that's why it sometimes takes a long time to go through all the points, make sure we don't miss anything. This is millions of dollars we're talking about, potentially tens of millions of dollars of our money, of my money. So to start, I'd like to thank Bert Ellentuck for his excellent presentation and thank him for the particular points of the fact that we're not in an emergency, that we could, if we had to, bump along exactly like we're going right now. We put some money in the operating budget just to do these repairs as they come up and take the time and do a thorough workup. That's the next point that I would raise, which is that there's something called due diligence, which is the catchphrase you use for a thorough workup. It means that whenever you're going to buy something of a major capital expense, you do the research, whether it's buying a car or buying a house or buying a water sewer system. You, like Carmela did, I also commend Carmela for her excellent report. She reached out through her resources nationally and got some input from different people, and that's very, very good, and that's Carmela's due diligence. But it's not the same thing as the council's due diligence. You can say that Carmela's your representative, she's your engineer, and you trust her completely, and I do also. I think Carmela's experience and the expertise of her report is really good. But I think that Carmela also is limited in the sense that no matter how good she is, she's one person, she's one engineering company, she's got one set of experience. She brings what I'm going to call her dimension, the dimension of Carmela, to the problem. Now, what that comes around to is that there's some other, and there's nothing wrong with that. That's everybody brings their dimension to the reality of what they work with in life. The key point, though, is that there are other dimensions. So I'd like to throw some curves to everybody and ask you to consider these curveballs, okay? And this is why, with Bert Ellentuck's thought that we are not in an emergency and we can take our time to do a thorough due diligence on this, number one, regarding the water sewer system replacements, the water is a subset. So this is talking to Carmela's report here. Water is a subset of the water sewer. The water sewer is a subset of utilities. Is it possible to have a idea, I don't know if Carmela can speak to this or we have to reach out somewhere else, to the idea of having a utilities channel put in all the major streets, at least, that could have branches to all the houses, so that you would have a way of replacing pipes easily in this utilities channel in the future, not just having water sewer, but having the electricity, the gas, the cable, et cetera, in a prefabricated channel that has all utilities. Let me finish first. In one channel. That's one idea. And then look at the idea of then what the sustainability of it is of that project versus the permanent polypropylene pipes that are permanent, that don't break down over time, but that in fact do break down over time because you have ground shifting, you have earthquakes and tremors and whatever. You have disruptions of unknown causes. So there's always going to be something that needs to be replaced. That said, why not, with these channels, look at the idea of an easeability or an easy way of replacing any of the utilities that fail in the future. So you're not looking out just 5 or 10 years. You're looking out 50 or 100 years. You're looking out very far in the future so that whatever you're putting in right now as pipes may be replaced by some kind of computer-generated... Now they have computer-generated objects, right? Maybe they'll have computer-generated pipes in the future. We don't know what they're going to have. Maybe we'll need 500,000 amps per house because it's high power drain in the future. The point is that things are going to change. You want a new Fios system that's not Fios, but it's the newest thing. If you have this channel that goes through the whole town, it's very easy to lay in that section of the channel that's dedicated to each utility, the actual channel, the delivery method of that utility, whether it's a pipe or a wire or whatever. So that's one idea. That's a big thing. And that takes some work up. It takes some due diligence to look at and see what, is anybody doing it? Is it out there? Next idea, changing channel. How much would it cost per well, per household, to put in wells for the 330 houses that are in Roosevelt? Well, I recently priced a well in my house in Massachusetts is about $6,000. But let's say it's even $10,000. Take 10,000 times 330, you get 3,000,003. It's a lot less than 10 million. It's a lot less than 20 million. So the point is, what is the reason, or is there a reason, and this is a good question for the council in terms of due diligence, as to why you need to have a utility for the water, or couldn't that be broken out and let everybody have their own pump and a well? And if you wanted to be, I guess, offering the town an advantage, if you're buying 330 of these things at a time, you've got a tremendous economy of scale than if you're putting in one at a time, obviously. So you could have Carmelo or the engineer do a literature search, a source search, request for proposal, request for action for these things that would then allow the town, the council, to go to the citizens and say, look, for X number of dollars, not in a bond, but just like spending X number of dollars per year for 3 years, you've got this thing, the water thing, solved for yourselves. This also has the advantage that you have what's called dispersed systems, which are much less vulnerable to breaking, because basically everybody has their own water supply, and so you don't have to worry about mains breaking and taking out a whole section of town. It's diversified. Anyway, the bottom line, the point of this is that there's a lot of room for more due diligence on the part of the council, whether it's single wells or channels through the town or putting something out on the street. Every time I'm up here, I keep saying that if you want to do due diligence, you have to put things, you have to put proposals out on the street. You say, hey, gang, hi, world, this is Roosevelt. Here's what we need, and here's our specifications. Carmelo should be hired as the engineer to write the specifications. Her report would be a great place to start. But then the other thing I want to say now to finish up here, if Carmelo, I think, or anyone who's the engineer, is going to give the proposal for a improvement in any utility, they should not be the person to actually do the implementation of that, because then you don't have a check and balance. You have to always have a way of having the people who are actually doing the work be supervised by someone who keeps them honest, holds their feet to the fire, make sure there's multiple bidding over thresholds, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and does all the proper work properly, who supervises the work and signs off on each stage of a project. It's standard engineering 101. It's not a big deal. But the thing is that you shouldn't have the same person do the proposal and the implementation. Then the other point here is that that's pretty much everything. It's a lot of curveballs for you. The concept of doing wells instead of a whole system is a big thing. In terms of the bond, I should talk about that tonight. And the water?
Yeah. Okay. Today is just the letter.
That's pretty much it.
You actually are allowed.
Excuse me?
Actually, you can speak to anything you want.
To sum up, we need to have a pushback in time of any kind of crunch on this whole thing to allow a real due diligence to be done by the whole town, by both individuals to speak, as Bert Ellentalk was mentioning, at a time when everybody can come, like have an evening, use this meeting tonight, today, I mean, as a way of introducing the town to the issues, write something up for the bulletin or some kind of way of communicating to the town, and then go forward with maybe a weekend meeting. Maybe it has to be a Saturday meeting in the school. Maybe it should be an all-town meeting. The point is that before you go and spend $10 million of our money, the town should shop on that with full search, full workup being done, due diligence being done. Right now, Carmelo's due diligence is excellent within the diameter or the dimension of that due diligence. I'm suggesting that there's a lot more to do if you choose to.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bob.
Bob Clark from Lake Drive. It's clear that there are some very good questions that have arisen today, and I'm very impressed by the participation by council members in asking those questions, as well as the public. And I do think that time should be taken to follow up on some of those. Carmela's already mentioned that she could do some of that. And I think there are probably a lot of people in the community that could join in with that. Thank you. Thanks. That could join in with that, and that would be very helpful. I know that I owned a house, co-owned a house on Elm Court, and I had two tenants there, and I never did hear either of them complain about the water pressure on Elm Court. So I don't know that anybody's actually gone out and polled the people that live on those courts to find out if they have a problem with water temperature, with water pressure. But it's that kind of thing. It's just an example of the information that still could be obtained that would be helpful to making the best decision, especially since it's going to cost us an arm and a leg. Thank you.
Thanks, Bob. Anyone else? Okay, well, seeing that... Yeah, I'm going to close the public comment at... Oh, 4:23?
29.
29. Okay, so public comments closed at 4:29, and as we had said, no formal action will be taken at this meeting. Did you want to say something, John?
I just want to say it's my fault that I called this meeting for 3 o'clock in the afternoon on a Monday. Carmela was available. I wanted for her to come and discuss all of this with the public as well as with the council, since there will probably be formal action taken at the council meeting tonight. So sounds like a lot of things got discussed. And again, I'm sorry for calling a meeting of this nature this afternoon, but I think we accomplished some thought. So thank you for coming. Thank you, Carmela.
Do I have a motion to adjourn? Or you all just want to stay here till 7?
Call some pizza then. Right. I'll second the motion.
Who made the motion?
Cody.
Oh, Cody, okay. Mm-hmm. All in favor?
Yes.
Yep.
Aye.
Okay, meeting is adjourned at 4:30.